Good to see you this morning. Again, we are a blessed people. We have the privilege to be able to meet together and worship the Lord. The ability to be able to meet together and to hear and to believe the gospel of God's grace. What a privilege. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 1. I'd like to look, as we continue in our study through this book, John 1. I'm going to be looking, Lord willing, at verses 32 to 34. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Our Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you. And Father, we don't even want to begin without asking your blessing, without asking your mercy and compassion and grace be shown to us. We realize that we can't read, we can't pray, we can't hear, we can't see, unless you grant us that blessed privilege. Bless your word, we ask you. Show us your blessed Son. Reveal to us by your Holy Spirit the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. John the Baptist, as we looked last time in verse 29 of this chapter, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, which beareth away the sin of the world." This world is so taken up with everything else. The care of this world, that's just what's in it for me? What can I get? What can I attain? And the true issue is, how should man be just before God? And there's the answer right there. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, not what you did with it. What has God Almighty done for the sake of His Son, for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ? What has God done for Himself in pleasing Himself for the good of those that He's everlastingly loved? Now the revelation, that's what John said, behold, there he is. The revelation of the Lamb of God answers the heart's desire of the new man. It answers his desire. It answers what I can know about Him who has borne away my guilt. This life is so frail. It is so frail. I'm telling you, you can be standing there 1 minute. And I'm telling you, it was that quick. before you have time to think, before you have time to reason, before you have time, gone. Just gone. Every man, woman made sensible to his need. Tell me about the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Tell me of the Lord. By God's revelation, by God's grace, I know every man, every woman knows something. Regenerated by the grace of God, every man knows something of God's justice. You know something about it. The heathen, there's a conscience in every man born in Adam. There's a conscience that knows right and wrong. There's a conscience there. I've told you before, I've down in Mexico, I've gone to those places and those temples where they sacrifice people. They knew something. The gods are angry. We've got to be appeased. Something is going to have to appease the God that I worship. Obviously, it has to do with killing a sacrifice. And there's a knowledge of right and wrong. John's declaration sets forth the one that the Holy Spirit of God, time after time after time in the Scripture, spoke of. The Lamb. The Lamb. In Genesis 4:4, I want you to look at this Scripture. I want you to look at a couple of Scriptures here. Genesis 4:4, the Lamb was typified as the one that Almighty God respected, the Lamb that God had respect toward, and the one from whom all the others, the elect, would come, the firstling. I want you to look at something here. Let's read verse 3, Genesis 4:3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now I want you to look at something here with me for a second. Something I'd never seen this before until just day before yesterday. I was looking at something and I was looking at the words of this Scripture. It said that, verse 3, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, Cain's offering was an offering of acknowledgement of God's creatorship. That God made these fruits. God made all this. God made this. And Cain brought. He brought an offering. It said that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. An offering that was given, possibly of God's ability to make all this. God is the creator of all of this. This belongs to God. This is God's fruit. This is God's land. These are God's fruits and vegetables. This is God's, and I'm going to offer And it said in Abel, he also, now there's the word that I looked at. He also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Now, turn over to Hebrews 11. And I want you to look at something here. The word I just read there was the word also. And he also brought. Now, I want you to look at Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet he speaketh. Now here's the point that I want to make concerning the Lamb. It says back in Genesis 4:4 that Abel brought also. Now I'm not saying that Abel didn't also have an offering of thanks, an offering of God's, the acknowledgement of God's creatorship. Hebrews 11:4 said that God had respect unto his offering concerning the gifts. There was a big difference in what Cain did and Abel did. Men, by nature, will acknowledge, I acknowledge God is the Creator. God made all of it. It's God's. It's God. All these cattle on God, it's God's. It's cattle of a thousand hills and all this is the Lord's, and I believe in God, and I believe that God is God. I believe that God made this. And these everything I have is from the Lord. Now you know a man can admit that. Cain admitted that. Abel, obviously, it said he also brought of the firstling. Obviously, and according to the wording in Hebrews 11:4, Abel also acknowledged God's creatorship. This is the Lord. But there was one big difference. God had respect unto Abel's offering because Abel brought of the firstling of his flock. Abel's offering spoke of his need of atonement. The devils believe that there's God, that God is. The devils believe that. The devils will believe God made all this. This is all this God's. It's God's. But it takes a new heart to realize that I need an atonement. Men can say, God Almighty is the Creator of all things, and I ought to thank Him. The heathens are admitting God needs to be appeased, but they don't know anything about the Lamb. John the Baptist was acknowledging, there's the Lamb. The Spirit of God had been speaking back in Genesis, man needs an atonement, and the atonement is going to be God's Lamb. Remember we looked in Genesis 22:8. Here's the Lamb. As I said a moment ago, quoting Brother Scott, here's God doing something for God before God Almighty would do anything for a man. God had to please Himself. Here's the knife. Here's the wood, here's the fire. Where's the Lamb? My son, God will provide Himself a Lamb. Abel, with a sacrifice set forth, there's got to be an atonement. Abraham, through the Spirit of God, prophesied, God's going to provide that atonement. That atonement's going to be Himself. In Exodus 12:13, the Lamb was shown to be one that was going to have to be slain. And His blood was going to have to be applied. They put it on the doorpost. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. In Isaiah 53, we learn for the first time that God's Lamb is a man. God's Lamb is the man, Christ Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. The Lamb of God is a man? That's right. The Lamb of God is the Son of Man. He was acquainted with grief. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before His shearers is dumb. So He opened not His mouth. And now here over in John chapter 1, as we looked at here last week, they'd been reading those scriptures. They read that scripture of Abel. Abel had a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel was thankful. He was thankful. He knew God was the creator of all things, but his sacrifice spoke of atonement. It's going to be a man. Blood's going to have to be shed. God's going to provide Himself. And now, here He comes. He's walking. And John looked and said, there He is right there. That's the one that the Spirit of God has spoken of all these centuries. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Revelation 5:8-9 declares that He shall be the object of the church's eternal adoration and worship. The Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. Almighty God is going to bring honor to the Lamb. It's the Lamb. When He had taken the book, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 22:1, we see the Lamb glorified and seated on the throne of God. John wrote under the Spirit of God's direction, He showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God. We're here this morning to bow, to hear of, to behold, to worship God's Lamb, the Lamb of God. Respectfully, we're here to hear of atonement. As I've said time after time, tell me one more time how God Almighty has put away my guilt. Tell me how I can stand right here, right now, with some peace and some comfort and some assuredness that if I were to take my last breath, that I'd see Him in mercy, compassion. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male, female. John had a knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ was by divine revelation. And the seal of that confirmation, God Himself, gave him. John 1, here it is. John, verse 32, bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, to whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. John had just said in verse 31, two verses before, I knew him not. Now he said it again. Verse 33, I knew him not. I didn't have any personal interaction with him until I saw him on that day. The Spirit of God revealed to me who he was. Here he was, the forerunner, the one that would come in the spirit of Elijah, the one that would say that that's him. Acknowledging. Now, here's an amazing thing. I want you to turn over to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Obviously, John, the scriptures set forth, was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And obviously, the Spirit of God within John had borne witness to John prior to the Lord's baptism, who the Lord was, prior to his baptism. Look, I want you to look at Matthew 3, starting in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering, and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. John, by the Spirit of God's revelation, and that's the only way that a man would ever know who he was. When the Lord came to him and he said, I want you to baptize me. John said, I need to be baptized of you. And the Lord said, no, all righteousness must be fulfilled. I've told you why I believe the Lord told John. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. And here was John baptizing in the River Jordan. All of the priests who were pictured in the Old Testament, they would go in and they had that laver, wash their hands and feet. Picture, type, ceremonially. It was a ceremonial cleansing, a picture. Ceremonially, they were setting forth the cleanness of the priest that would go in. It was type, it was a picture. Before they'd go in to minister, they would cleanse in that water. Picture of their cleanness, a type of the cleanness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in Himself pure. And they going in there to do the daily ministerings, set forth the purity of Him who was in Himself pure. And there's John the Baptist, the last of those Old Testament prophets. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and that baptism by which he was baptized, set forth according to the law. Here he was being baptized in that river Jordan, fulfilling the law, because he himself was the priest who was pure. And he fulfilled, he told John, all righteousness must be fulfilled. Every jot, every tittle of the law, He fulfilled perfectly. And there He was. John said, I need to be baptized of you. No, it was the Lord who was fulfilling all righteousness according to the law. John baptized him. Heavens opened. Dove, Spirit of God in the form of a dove came down, picturing the character of the one upon whom it was going to light. A dove. That dove that set forth perfectly. Dove, a picture of love. You know, doves picture love and faithfulness. You know, two doves get together. They're together. They're together for life. Doves, when they find their mate, they're together. But also picture of sorrows. There's a picture, type, beauty of the love of Almighty God toward His people, those that He's everlastingly loved. He loved them, and He loved them to the end. But oh, that dove that also is a picture of sorrow, mourning. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And right in that beautiful point in time, Almighty God answers to the glory of His Trinity. There's the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized. There's the Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove. And here's the voice of the Father out of heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Almighty God acknowledging, setting forth the glory of the Lamb. And John said in verse 34, I saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. John had borne record to the eternality of the Lord Jesus. Back in verse 15 of this first chapter, he said, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He's the eternal Son. He's always answered. He's always stood. John bore witness of His Lordship. Verse 23, he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. I'm just a voice. He's the Lord. I'm the creature. He's the Creator. John bore witness of His glory in verse 27. It is He who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet. I'm not worthy to unloose. I am what I am by the grace of God. John bore witness to His sacrificial work. Just looked at that, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He bore witness concerning His moral perfection. That's what we just read in verse 32. I bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. It abode upon Him. It stayed on Him. He bore witness to His right and power to convert, to purify, to guide His people by His Spirit. Verse 33 that we just read, He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Regenerating power. I can't regenerate myself. Verse 34, I saw him. I saw. And I bear record. This is the Son of God. This is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Listen, of all that this world sets forth concerning salvation, this world can do nothing but set forth that salvation is in your hands. The world can but set forth that salvation is in your hands. The world sets forth that salvation's up to you. That God Almighty wants to, if you'll let Him. Only by divine revelation, with a heart that perceives. Now the world will read those words, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," and the world will add its works to that. What else? The world will say, I acknowledge that He takes away the sin of the world. What it is He's made salvation possible. And all you have to do, it's all of grace, they say. But all you have to do to make it effectual. That's not what this is saying. God's Lamb taketh away the sin of all that God Almighty has everlastingly loved, set His affection upon, chosen in Christ, redeemed by Christ. This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world without any help from you, and tells you about it by faith, and you believe Him. What a miracle of God's grace. May the Lord add His blessing to our hearts and teach us of His blessed Lamb for His honor and for our good. Amen. All right, let's take about a 10-minute break.